Welcome to MoneyMD, where the money doctors are in the house. We're giving out prescriptions for better financial health and making smart decisions with your money. We give common sense solutions to your complex problems. And now, here are the doctors.
Well, Zach, here we are. I mean, we're, you know, winding down NCAA tournament here.
Yeah,
week 16 is this week. We're on Wednesday now, so
yeah,
a lot
so
of the games
before
are
the
tonight.
Action of the Sweet 16.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of Sweet 16 action before you hear this.
Yes.
This podcast on Friday, but
yeah.
In fact, Clemson is in it. First time
it
in
yeah.
I don't know how many years, a long time.
Yeah.
It's like 7 years or something.
I think so. Yeah, and my team Marquette's in it too. They haven't been in it in 11 years. So
there you
this
go.
Sweet 16.
Okay.
Is, yeah.
Now Clemson will be out by the time you hear this, probably because
yeah.
I think they're playing Arizona tomorrow night.
Yeah.
On Thursday. And so, yeah, there's like an 80% chance, the bookies say,
an
80% chance they're going to lose. But, hey, there's a first time for everything.
You know,
yeah.
It's possible. And it's exciting because
even the fact we're there.
They had a good, I mean, they've had a good tournament run, obviously, two wins. That's, I mean, it's hard to get to Sweet 16. It's not a, it's not a, an easy thing. So,
no. So that'll be interesting. And we got the Masters coming up here in a few weeks. So a lot going on.
Yeah.
A nice spring. It's coming fast. Wow.
It is coming fast. First quarter is done in a day. I mean, after this week.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We're having a great week, a great quarter in the market.
Yeah, good market quarter.
You know, so a good month as well. So hopefully, knock on wood, that holds up.
Right.
But we got some great topics to talk about today as well. And, you know, tax time is winding down here. So I want to talk about the audit flags that we have a list of 11 audit flags here. If you're worried about yourself getting audited, tune into this, listen up. I think you'll be happy to know there's well below a 1% chance you would be audited, even if you trigger some of these flags.
Yeah.
But we have the most common flags to look for, to think about. If you haven't finished your taxes, make sure you don't trigger any of these inadvertently.
Yeah.
And it'll give you an idea of whether you're in that zone of whether that they might actually look closer at your return.
Sure. Yeah, and then we'll talk about how to actually calculate your tax withholding. I think sometimes this withholding number is a little bit mysterious, and we'll go through how you should calculate it and what you should do if you find yourself in a situation where you owe money or you're getting a big refund. So that's a good look at that article, and that one's from Ramsey Solutions. So.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot about taxes today.
Yes.
So, and by the way, I'm Steve Marbert. I'm a certified financial planner and a Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro with over 29 years experience in financial planning and investment advice.
And I'm Zach Albanese, also a certified financial planner. Been in the investing world for about 5 years and been at Rich Young for a little over 3.
Yeah, we're excited to have you listen to us today on our weekly show. Our podcasts are up every Friday morning. You can find us right through our website, moneymd.net, or you can pick us up on iTunes, listen to us anywhere in the world. Do check us out on our website, moneymd.net, where you can link to us. You can ask us questions, and we will answer those right here on the show. And all our previous shows are on there, too, you know, and they're broken out by topics. So you can. There's a lot of great information.
Oh,
we've been covering this for a very long time now, well over 10 years, and a lot of topics out there. So tune in and check that out. We're going to start off here with the financial fact of the week. And Zach, you know, I just heard this morning coming in to work on Bloomberg that renting is actually 60% cheaper than buying or owning a house now across the U.S.
Yeah, that's incredible.
This is average of all the metro areas across the U.S. It is incredible. I don't know how unprecedented that is, but it's certainly rare, and I guess they attribute it to, you know, the fact that mortgage rates have gotten so high now,
housing prices have gotten
so expensive. On average, for you buying a house and paying the mortgage and keeping a house up, it's 60% cheaper to just rent currently.
Yeah, I mean, which could be really good news for a lot of people who are in that situation where renting just makes more sense right now, not only situationally, but also financially with it being 60% cheaper. I mean, that's substantial.
Kind of shocking.
Yeah,
interesting
right.
fact of the week.
Yeah.
And one more is it's double witching year for cicadas this year. Fun fact.
So happy to hear that. Yeah.
Fun fact. Yeah, the 13-year, if I heard it correctly, the 13-year cicadas and the 17-year cicadas will be coming out both this year in April and May. So get ready. I hear there's some with some big red eyes, and it'll be quite the show. So, look for that one.
I'm surprised there's no horror movies about this coming out this year, about this the double witching 17-year
cicadas this year. Fun fact. All right. That leads us up here to our first topic. Yeah. We're going to talk about IRS audit flags for this year, for 2023. Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. You know, people worry about it all the time, you know, getting audited. It's pretty rare, but it certainly does happen. And there's some simple things that make yours kind of stand out and come to the top, you know, and says, audit me right on the top of your 1099. Yeah, and your 1040 if you have any of these flags. But this comes from Bart Brotman Law, who is an tax attorney's office very recently. But let's begin with an important conclusion. I mean, if your tax return makes sense, everything's included, then you're likely never going to have to worry about an IRS audit. You're going to be able to avoid the audit red flags that we're going to talk about here and you know, never have to hire a tax attorney or anything to deal with an audit. That's kind of the facts. I mean, it's very, very rare for you to have to sit down and have an audit with the IRS. And the key is to take extra time to go over everything, make sure that all the reported taxable income, the tax credits, supporting documents with your return are in order. And if you do, you can avoid spending a lot of significant time digging out old records. And in the end, quite possibly save a lot of expense too. And I know this because I've actually been through a sit-down audit with the IRS.
Intimidating.
It is. It's very few people, but I know the preparation is extensive, and the actual audit itself consumed an entire day in my case because it was like a half day sit down and, you know, all the preparation driving to Columbia and back for me when it was all said and done. But fortunately for me, it didn't result in any penalty or extra taxes, you know, just some explanations I had to give. And usually, you know, I believe it does result in some extra taxes. So you certainly want to avoid that. So if you are worried about being audited this year or in the future, we have the latest IRS audit flags for 2023 and the factors that are often considered when the choosing good audit.
Yeah. And the first one is pretty straightforward. It's just, what are the simple mistakes? Incomplete, missing information, things like wrong name, wrong social security number, math errors. Simple mistakes really are at the top of the list of why people get audited. And the key to this is by making errors, you draw attention to your return, which draws attention to other errors you might have. And so if you're sloppy and make mistakes, then an IRS agent might have to look at your return to resolve the missing or the incorrect information. So, you know, in turn, they often find other mistakes, which then leads to an audit. So it's almost like the missing information leads to them discovering more mistakes. So just make sure you get that information right on your return, and it really will help you avoid the top of that red flag list that leads to an audit.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, just simple mistakes, just drawing attention to your return is the number one thing. But amended returns also creates a red flag. You know, amended returns probably generate closer scrutiny by the IRS, so that's why they get looked at more.
Yep.
File an amended return, particularly if the results are significant decrease in tax, is almost guaranteed to get a second look by the IRS. It may not mean the return is selected for an audit, but the amended return, you know, red flag generally means someone's going to have to take a look at it, and they probably will. So that's one of them. Another one is too many zeros, believe it or not. Yeah, I mean, zeros, especially double, triple zeros, they indicate that the tax preparer guessed at a number, right?
That's no good.
I mean, it's just not specific, right? I mean, you know, I've seen the IRS, he says he's seen IRS revenue agents, auditors roll their eyes when they see complicated expense categories come out to a nice,
pretty even
round number with a bunch of zeros. You know, they're often just they just know the taxpayer is not going to be able to substantiate that category fully. So if you're going to guess at a number, make sure you come up with at least an odd number.
Yep. Well, then here's the other one is repeated N numbers. So using the same N number over and over again may also raise a red flag with the IRS. And so, you know, again, we would never suggest guessing at your tax return, but if you are truly stumped and need to make your most honest recollection about an expense category, then you might want to vary those guesses to avoid the scrutiny. Yeah,
exactly. And the next one here is using an unscrupulous tax preparer. Okay, believe it or not, tax preparers can be flagged. And so theirs get a closer look, you know. So they can't say enough about the dangers of using someone who fudges numbers on your return or who is overly aggressive, who may just be an outright crook. The Criminal Investigation Division, CID, has been increasingly going after unscrupulous tax preparers as a way of ushering in compliance from the rest of the community. I mean, if you think about it, your preparer magically turns a $300 balance into a $300 refund. But if you're doing it and then he's probably also doing it for somebody else.
Right. Yeah.
You know, tax preparers, they use an identification number known as a PTIN so the IRS can readily identify whose returns they prepared. And the IRS has a number of ways to discover unscrupulous tax preparers. The IRS has a method to statistically look for patterns in the returns that a person has prepared, and regardless of how they're caught, I mean, you don't want to be anywhere near that person when they get caught. I mean, unscrupulous tax preparers have been a high priority for the IRS for many years now. So make sure you use a good tax preparer.
Yeah, that's important. The other thing that might pose a red flag is the large changes of income. So, you know, most of these audit red flags are thought to increase your DIF score. However, this is probably one of the main indicators of underreported income. You know, there are many unexpected events in life that can cause changes in income, such as a loss of a job, maybe you have a windfall gain, or just an unexpected good or bad luck in life. As such, unexpected and significant swings in your income can usually be explained fairly easily. However, large inconsistencies in income from year to year may indicate an area of concern to the IRS if the change in income is not readily apparent, like a loss of a job or something, which would be reflected on your W-2. So that can trigger a red flag as well if you have large changes of income.
Yeah, certainly. Another one is large refunds or net operating losses. Generally the IRS has no issue with small refunds because predicting the exact amount of withholdings needed, you know, over the course of a year is pretty difficult. You know, nobody comes out perfect on that, especially when factoring in deductions. However, large refunds, they pose an entirely different problem for the IRS, and it has nothing to do with them not wanting to write large checks to the taxpayer. But first, you know, the most large refunds are not associated with the standard W-2 taxpayer, you know, but rather they're indicative of losses on a taxpayer's return or something that has offset a large amount of the taxpayer's liability that they would have had to pay. And as a result, you know, these issues are usually much more technical than a standard return. Therefore, the IRS will want to take a closer look at that and make sure that you're right. And since many preparers make mistakes when they're reporting net operating losses on a client's return, the IRS, you know, is going to examine that.
Sure.
And, you know, there's a potentially high margin of error for that. And the errors are usually large when it comes to that.
Right.
Another one that's certainly a red flag is foreign bank accounts, foreign trust, or cross-border transactions. Okay, so if you have a lot of income, you have accounts outside the U.S., I mean, it's certainly going to draw attention. Even though taxpayers may have perfectly legitimate reasons for engaging in cross-border transactions, or they own property in other countries,
right,
you know, such as activities like that that traditionally make the IRS nervous for a variety of reasons. And first and foremost, the IRS, you know, they have to summon the authority and the ability to demand records from third parties, such as banks and institutions. And in foreign countries, it's extremely limited and hard to do that. So that raises concern for them that they may not be getting all the data, and particularly in countries with strong bank secrecy laws. So cross-border transactions, hiding assets in foreign trusts, those are often methods used to evade taxes.
Sure.
As such, the IRS now requires taxpayers to disclose if they have foreign assets on their returns.
Yeah.
Certainly
Which
raises,
helps.
Certainly raises a red flag.
Yeah.
So there you go. And then the next one here is participating in a tax shelter. Okay. Yeah, that's an easy one. Okay. If you use an aggressive tax shelter scheme like a conservation easement or a trust, conservation trust that gives you some kind of tax credit, big tax credits, the flags go up.
Sure.
I mean, you can probably count on somebody at the IRS taking a second look at the valuations that were used for such a credit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, the next one here, we have a cash transaction. So cash is a major audit red flag because it really creates all sorts of problems for the IRS because it's almost impossible to track cash transactions. They can easily be hidden, and they don't have a clear electronic record to keep track of it. And it really, it's difficult for the IRS to verify. So specifically, right. The IRS targets returns where taxpayers may deal with large amounts of cash and consider it in an audit red flag when a return contains a high probability of unreported income. So cash transactions, yeah, IRS doesn't like it because it can't track it.
Yeah, absolutely. That attracts attention.
Yes.
Easy to fudge it.
Yes.
And the last one we're going to talk about here is charitable contributions. Inflated charitable contributions are one of the most abused deductions. And as such, they're one of the biggest red flags that a return is deserving of an audit. In addition, a lot of taxpayers fail to include the required non-cash contributions, the schedule required for those, which is indicative of either a false deduction or the fact that taxpayer lacks the substantiation, the paperwork required under the IRS code.
Right.
So, yeah, in any event, the IRS often challenges those non-cash contributions. Like if you're donating your car to a charity or something like that, they're going to take a look at that most likely.
Yeah,
so that it certainly is a red flag, and it results in, audits occasionally. Mm-hmm. So anyway, even with some of these red flags triggered, your chances of an audit are still less than 1%. So on average.
Right.
So don't fret about your chances of being audited. I mean, simply keep good records. Be honest.
Yeah, right.
You know, don't make obvious mistakes that attract attention to your return. So double check things. Make sure your return makes sense and you compare it to your previous year's return before you file to ensure you aren't forgetting anything on your return. And you probably want to avoid, you know, any of these aggressive tax shelters for sure.
Yeah, those things are a little bit out there.
Yeah, and that would definitely attract attention. Anyway, remember, most ordinary people have no reason at all to be concerned about tax audits. So, but interesting to
know. Yeah, very interesting, though.
What you
be aware
might,
of.
Might attract attention.
That's right.
That's it. And that leads us up here to our question of the week.
Yeah, so the question of the week is a pretty simple one, but I feel like we run into it a lot, and that's the question is, what's the difference between marginal and effective tax rates?
Yeah, that is a common question. You know, I mean, people confuse their marginal rate with their effective tax rate, and they think they're paying, if they're in a 22% bracket, which is one of the most common marginal rates, they think they're paying 22% on all their income.
Right. Or you'll see people afraid to go up in their income because they don't want to pay the next bracket on all their income.
On all their income.
Yeah, and that's just not.
Truth is, that's not the way it
works,
right? It's a tiered system.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You pay 10, you pay zero on a certain amount. That's your standard deduction. Then you take 10% on another 10 or 20,000 with depending on whether you're single
married
or married.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pay 12% on another bracket. You know,
which goes up for married. It's like, I think goes up to 86,000, something like that.
Something
for
like
taxable
that.
Income.
Taxable income. Right. And then you pay 22% and then 24 and then 31, 37. So it goes up this ladder, this bracket. And you hit each tier, and you've only paid the lower amount on that
right.
the lower anything below that tier. So yeah, the average taxpayer's effective tax rate I've heard is about 8%.
Eight, wow.
So it's a lot lower number than people think.
Yeah,
even if they're in a 22% marginal rate.
Because if you think if you're in a 22% marginal rate for a little bit, like you said, most of it is at 12%. But then there's that good chunk at 0 and 10% that lowers your effective tax rate, which is the rate at which kind of the your total income is taxed at if you were to just do simple math, essentially.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you're making $120,000 a year as a married couple,
right?
I mean, you know, you have about $90,000 that's being taxed at 12%
right.
or less. So you can kind of do the math and you see you get to you get to 8 pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Have a couple kids, you can cut that in half.
Yeah. You really can. You really can.
There you go.
Yeah, kids, tax credits are nice.
They're nice. They're nice. All right. Well, good question of the week. Yeah. And that leads up to our next topic here. How to calculate your tax withholding.
Yeah. So this is a big one, too. I mean, Steve, I think one of the biggest reasons we see folks that have big refunds or big tax bills is because their tax withholding at their employer or maybe at their pension is off. Sometimes it's way off. And so the question is, how much should you withhold in taxes? And when should you withhold an additional amount from each paycheck? So we'll get into this. And really, looking at these questions, it's easier than we expect. And really, it all it starts with taking a closer look at your tax withholding. And so how do you avoid paying too much in taxes each month so you don't get a big refund? It comes down to adjusting your withholding. So when tax time rolls around, that's when you find out, have you paid too much? Have you not withheld enough? If you have withheld too much, you'll get a refund. If you withheld too little, you're going to get, you have to pay the IRS what you owe. And really the goal is to get as close to zero as possible. Kind of like golf, I guess we can relate to golf.
There you go.
Close to zero is better.
Shoot par, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
close to zero is better.
No, actually, golf, you want to keep getting lower, but that's okay.
Well, close to zero on the hole.
There you go.
Yeah, one is better than...
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Net zero.
Not zero in par. Yes, being under par is better. But zero on a hole, if you could do that...
Well, first you got to hit a shot. So the one's pretty much...
One is the best place.
That's as low as you get.
Okay. Well, anyway, if you owe the IRS $1... There you go. You've done a good job.
There you go.
So anyway, you want to get to as close to zero as possible when it comes to tax refunds, because otherwise you're loaning the government their money for free. So the first thing is understanding the W-4 form.
Right. Yeah. The W-4 form really is what you use to tell your employer how much to withhold from your taxes. So if you have too much that's being withheld and you're getting a huge refund, or you're not paying enough and you're having to pay a penalty or having to pay in a lot each year, you probably need to adjust your W-4.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's a new W-4 form that's out there apparently. And so we're going to go through a little bit of what the steps are for figuring out how to fill out your W-4 form and to get that corrected.
Yes.
So it's divided into 5 fairly easy steps that'll give your employer the info they need to plug it in their computer and get their withholding correct on your salary. And so step one, you just enter basic information, you know, and your filing status. That's really the key, is your filing status. Yeah. Are you single or are you married?
Mm-hmm.
Step two is, you know, if you have more than one job or you're married filing jointly, your spouse also works, you have to fill out that step and you have to give an estimate of how much you make in the other job or what your spouse makes in their wages. And that's going to give, you know, your employer enough information to put you in the computer and get the right filing status with extra income. And then step three is, this is where you claim dependents to lower your taxes, because kids under 17, they get a $2,000 tax credit each.
It's nice.
Makes a big difference, no doubt. So, and if you have other dependents, that's another $500. So you're going to fill in number dependents in step three. Step four is where you can make even more adjustments from your withholding for additional income or additional tax you want to be withheld from your paycheck. And that's my favorite block, because
that's where you can make those fine-tuned adjustments.
That's the simple place where you can just tell them to withhold an extra $100 a month or something.
Right.
I like using that step because that's easy. You just do the math and put a number in there and it adjusts it. All right. And then the last step, step five, is where you're going to sign it, and then you're done and you turn it back into your employer. So anyway, they introduced this new W-4 form just a couple years ago. You don't have to fill it out. You know, if everything's coming out well in your taxes,
right,
leave well enough alone. But if you're having to... you know, a huge refund or you're having to pay in a lot, then you probably should get the new W-4 form, fill it out, you know, do a checkup on that and, you know, try to get it right so that you're not having a big discrepancy every year when you file your taxes.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, if you adjust your withholding so you break even or really get close to breaking even at tax time, you end up with more cash in your pocket throughout the year, you know, which obviously is good. The IRS data shows that the average tax refund for 2023 was about $2,800. So that is about $230 a month you're giving the IRS that you could put towards something else in your budget. So it's important to, again, trying to get that as close to zero as possible. And if you also went through a major life change, such as getting married or having a child, it's good to take a fresh look at your tax withholding because you will have different tax breaks there. So those are some just quick questions to go over. And then now we'll look at how you actually calculate your tax withholding. So to figure out what your withholding should be from any paycheck, there are two ways that can help. So the first one's the simplest. If nothing has changed and you see that you are getting a refund or you're owing money, the simplest thing to do is take your refund amount or how much you owed, divide it by 12, or if you're paid twice a month, divide by 24. And that is how much you'll know to kind of that line four that you mentioned, Steve.
Right.
Add to that additional, how much do you want them to withhold more per pay period? So divide your refund by 12 or 24, and there's your number. Add that to your additional tax to be withheld, and you solve that problem. The other way, the other solution is if your tax situation has changed, a good thing to do is use tax software to kind of generate a mock return to see what your new situation will be like. You don't have to pay for that. If you don't file, you don't have to pay. But it's just a good way to check math. And if you do that, it should give you a good understanding of what your tax situation will be like and how much you'll need to adjust in the coming year. So some of it's trial and error. But the goal is really getting it to a point where you have as close to zero as possible.
Yeah. And so, you know, the first step to figuring out whether you need to make a change in your tax withholding would be to figure out what's being withheld currently from your taxes, right? Add it all up. So let's say, you know, that you have $150 each pay period that comes out twice a month. That would be about $3,600 per year that's coming out of your paycheck for federal income taxes. Mm-hmm. So let's say that's your situation. If you're single, that's easy. Then, you know, you got it. That's what's being withheld. Yep. If you're married, filing jointly, then you need to calculate how much is coming out for your spouse as well. And, you know, in this example, let's assume your spouse has $400 come out of their paycheck each month. So you add those up, you know, for your spouse, it would be 400 times 12, which is $4,800 a year. Yours is $3,600. You add those two together, you get to $8,400 a year. So in this example, that's how much you have that's being withheld currently from your paycheck.
Yeah, that's right. And so now that you know what your projected withholding is, the next step is to estimate how much you'll owe in taxes for the year. So again, if you're married filing jointly, we talked about the numbers earlier. It's, you know, $81,500 is a taxable income. And again, you don't want to use for a 12% bracket, you don't want to just use 12% on the whole thing. Again, it's marginal. So if you go through all the math, let's say you come out with your total tax liability of $9,340. This is the example we're looking at here. And so what you want to do is subtract the difference. So Steve, in your math, you said your total annual withholding was $8,400.
Right.
You owe $9,340 in taxes. So then your potential tax gap is a $900 deficit.
Yeah.
So then what you want to do with that $900 deficit is make up the difference in your withholding every month. So following one of the steps that we mentioned earlier, whether you add to each paycheck or...
So 900 divided by 12 is $75 a month.
$75
extra
a month.
Needs to get paid in.
Yep. And that's what you do. And it's pretty simple once you figure out where you're at in your current year. But yeah, so you add the $75 a month per month.
So if it was me, Zach,
check.
I would just pull out that W-4 form. I'd go straight to step four.
Step four.
I'd put in $75 a month, and I'd sign it, turn it in, say, please withhold an extra $75
a month. And that's
all. And you'd be done.
You don't need to change more dependents. You don't need to do any fancy. I don't know, W-4 modifications. Just put that $75 in.
Right.
You're good to
go. That's the simple answer to me. Yeah. Just adjust your W-4, go to step four, just put in a dollar amount that averages what extra you need to pay in per month, you know, if you need to pay extra.
Yeah. So again, you know, a lot of this is trial and error. But if you do that and the next year your tax return comes around and you just, you do it again until you really nail it down close to zero as possible. So, that's how you adjust your tax withholding using W-4 form.
There you go. All right. Cool. It's that simple. See how simple it is?
So simple.
Taxes, they're just so simple.
Yeah.
It's that one-page form that they kept promising us 20 years ago when they made the tax. You're just going to be on a postcard.
One day.
Okay. Maybe not a postcard. Yeah. There we go. All right. Well, that leads us up here to our final thing, and that is the prescription of the week.
Yes.
And so the prescription is to take a look at your old insurance policies. You know, you need to look at your policies about every 3 to 5 years, you know, but let's say you have an old whole life policy or a universal life policy, insurance policy you've had for a while. You need to make sure it's still worth keeping, that it's still on a good track, that it's not going to run out of money, and that it's going to provide the death benefit that you need. And the best way to do that, Zach, really is to get the company to run you an in-force illustration.
Illustration, yeah, that's good.
So every 3 to 5 years, you need to get an in-force illustration that projects that policy over the next 10 or 20 years. And it's going to show you exactly where that policy's headed based on today's interest rates, today's assumptions, today's expenses inside the policy.
Yeah.
So call your insurance company if you have old policies. Get an in-force illustration, and that's going to give you a picture of whether that policy is still on a good track or whether you need to consider maybe getting rid of it or replacing it.
Yeah, that's good.
There you go.
That's a good prescription.
Your prescription of the week. And that leads us to a close for this week's edition of MoneyMD. Tune in next week to hear more prescriptions for your financial health. Do check us out on our website, moneymd.net. Send us your questions or give us a call at Richard Young Associates at 706-739-0725. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of your week.
Yes, have a good one.
Material in this program is intended for general information only and should not be taken as specific investment, tax, or legal advice. None of the information contained in this broadcast is intended by the host to be a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security. All hosts are representatives of Richard Young Associates and registered investment advisor.